Lord, we'll never know how much it cost for you to come and get on the cross and take our sins. But we thank you for it. We appreciate it, Lord. Probably not enough, but we just want to adore you. We want to honor you tonight. We want to give you glory because you're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, God is good. I said, God is good. Hallelujah. If you've got your Bibles, go to, we'll be in Matthew quite a bit tonight, but go to Luke chapter 2 real quick. Luke chapter 2. We've got Christmas coming up, and we celebrate the birth of the Messiah on Christmas, and that's what it's all about, right? I heard a narrative of who Saint Nicholas was, and it was just incredible who this man was, because he was a real guy in Turkey is where he was from, and it was a time of heavy persecution for the church. But he did go out and he paid. There was a guy that had daughters that he couldn't pay his debts, so he was going to have to sell his daughters into slavery in order to pay off his debts. And Saint Nicholas came at night and put gold in to pay the debt, not just once, but twice or three times. And he was known for that kind of thing. But he endured much persecution to the point where he was in prison being beaten for not renouncing Christianity and standing up. He was really big on the fact that Jesus is God, the deity of Christ. So important. But so he is a real figure. It's amazing. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go to Luke chapter 2. And look at let's just go to verse 11. This is where the angels came to the shepherds, right? And listen to verse 11. It says, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in the swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly, watch this. There was an angel with a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill toward men." And we're not really going to get into that too much tonight, except to say that when Jesus came, he didn't come just for the Jews, right? He did come for the Jews, but he came for all men. He was a gift to God to all men, right? And, you know, that's a gift that just keeps on giving, right? He's a gift to me. But you know what? Sometimes you have to know how to operate a gift or how to partake of a gift or how to use a gift. I'll tell you a story that's a funny story. This guy, you know, he was raised on a farm, but it was one of those crude farms where they still had the horses and the plows, and the dad was out there year after year with the son and just beating down them and taking that hoe to the ground and going. And the son went into the city and he got pretty wealthy. You know, he said, "You know, I'm going to buy my dad a tractor." So he buys the dad a tractor and he goes, "Man, this is awesome. That's going to make my dad's life, you know, so much better." And so he sent him the tractor, and had it delivered to his house. So his son called to check in on him about a month later. He said, "Dad, well, how's it working with the tractor?" He said, "Well, it killed both of the horses when I was trying to pull that tractor. But see, you got to know how to use, or you have to know how to operate in the gift that's been given, right?" So go to Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to talk about, we've been talking about the prophecies of Jesus and that he fulfilled so many prophecies, again, mathematically impossible for him not to be the Messiah. He's done so much and fulfilled it. But tonight we're going to just take it a little bit different, and we're going to look at the prophecies that Jesus talked about. I think that's really important, or that were told to him. But we'll get to that, but I want to start in verse 1. It said, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes follow him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. How many have ever thought, well, the Lord would do this if he is willing? I know the Lord can do this, but I don't know if he will do this. Have you ever thought that? It's like, well, you know, I know he's healed somebody else. I know he's paid somebody else's bills. I know he's really blessed other people, but it doesn't seem like he's willing for me. I want you to just take these next two verses or few verses to heart as if Jesus is talking to you. When it comes to the promises of God, put your name in there and watch this. If you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I'm willing. Be cleansed. Immediately his leprosy was cleansed. We've got to take Jesus at his word, and then we have to come from the place where if God said it, then it's for me. Here's something that I'm working on in my spirit. It's like, Lord, you said, and we might look at that tonight, but in Luke chapter 4, you said that you came to heal the brokenhearted. And I'm watching a lot of people in my life, and maybe myself included, that you've blessed us, you've done so many things, but it seems like we're still walking around brokenhearted. We're still a mess because of things that have happened or things that were done or the view of ourselves or whatever. But Lord, you said you came to heal the brokenhearted. Well, a healed broken heart isn't broken anymore. Hello, that's really deep, I know, but try to stay up with me. A heart that has been healed is no longer broken. So it's like, okay, God, where's the disconnect? And how do we walk more in that? And we're going to see a few things tonight. The first thing that we have to see is that he's willing. If Jesus walked into this room, it would be no different for you than it was for the leper that came up. He'd come up to Jesus. He walks in the room. He said, Jesus, are you willing to do for me what you said you'd do? He said, I'm willing. Be cleansed. Be healed. Has he said that already in some places? You know, has he said that you're already loved? Has he said you're accepted? Has he said, you know, that you're seated with him in heavenly places? Has he said those things? Has he told you that you're redeemed? Then we have to be able to receive in our hearts that he's willing to do what he said he'd do. Are you with me tonight? Come on. He's willing for you, Alex. Come on. He's willing for you, Marty. He's willing. God, you're willing. Your will was to bless me. Your will was to save me. And isn't that awesome? Again, back to Luke, and we're not going back there, but to you, the Savior was born. That word Savior means the one who's the deliverer, the healer, he's the provider, he's the protector, he's all of those things. God, will you really help me? Yes, I'm willing. I'm willing. Let's go on. And Jesus said, see that you tell no one, but go your way and show yourself to the priests and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. Now, in other words, he was saying, go fulfill what the law requires. Verse 5 says, now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. This is a Roman. This is the outside guy. But remember that Jesus came to save the world. God so loved the world that he sent. So you're not less than, you're not on the outside. If you're in the world, if you're born of God, if Jesus is your Lord, then you're on the inside. Come on, anybody want to be on the inside? Hallelujah. God, I just want to be on the inside. And so he said, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Now watch this as it plays out, because it's really important that we get this in our spirits. It's really important. Watch this. He said, for I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Now, in another one of the Gospels, it says, I'm a man under authority, but I have people under me at the same time. So I know how authority works, because if I tell somebody that's under me to do something, they better do it. Why? Because I have the authority to make their lives miserable if they don't, right? But my word is backed by more than who I am. Very important, very important. And he said, and so you don't have to come to my house. If you just speak it, it'll be it. So what am I saying? I'm saying that we need to take Jesus at his word, but we need to get under that authority structure. And by that, he told us, he said, go into all the world. He said, and then he said, lay hands on the sick and they should recover. But we have to be under that authority and know the authority that's been given to us and stand in that authority when we're acting on that authority. In other words, I have to be confident that what God said is available to me and I can walk in it. And we're going to talk about a lot of that tonight, but just get that for instance. God, did you really say that I was to lay hands on the sick? Did you really mean that they would recover? Yes. 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 So that he could get glory out of it. Okay? Now watch this. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Great faith. Why was it considered great faith? It was considered great faith because he recognized whose authority Jesus was under. He was sent from God. He was a man of God. And that all he had to do was speak the word, and that was good enough for him to receive what God had for him. Does that make sense? So are we there? Do we really believe that? Do we really operate in that? Well, I think yes and no. I think sometimes we try to fool ourselves. I believe, bless God. The guy behind the pulpit said, believe and you'll be healed, or believe and God will meet your needs, or this word, thus saith the Lord, comes to you, and you're really going, I don't know. I hope so. I hope it works. Well, we're not at the place of belief right then. In fact, hold your place there. We'll come back. But go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. See, Jesus fulfilled a lot of prophecy. He's a gift to us. But are we really partaking of that gift? And if we're not, why not? And is there something we can do differently in order to operate in everything that he's promised? See, I believe, for me anyway, it's important for me to strive to operate in the things that God's promised. Why? Because then the authority that he's given me can be given to others to benefit from, right? If I really believe that I'm sent by God into a situation, then I'm going to have a word in that situation that is going to be God-breathed. And then the people are going to have an opportunity whether to accept it or reject it. But the reality is I know that I know that I know that even tonight I'm speaking under the anointing of God. See, but I have to be assured of that. I have to know that. And so do we all. Because what happens if we hope so, but we don't know so? then we don't walk in authority, do we? And the enemy knows it. We know it, right? And the people who are trying to minister know it. See, if you have somebody, if you really believe in God wants you to be healed, and you want to walk in that healing, and you want, man, I just want to feed my faith. I just want that to come to pass. You're not going to go up to somebody and the person, you know, I'll pray for you. Oh, Lord, if it be your will, heal this person. Or if it's your will for them to suffer. Right? I mean, but there are people who will pray like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? So gently, but firmly, take their hand off of your head and say, no, thank you. I don't want your prayer. I don't want to agree with your maybe, because you're not at the place yet where you need to be, because you're not understanding the authority that's been given to you, and you're definitely not walking in it, right? And how does that affect everything? It's like, are my prayers really heard? Do my prayers do any good? And if we're not in the place where we're understanding the authority and what Jesus has purchased for us, then we're not going to stand and operate in the authority and get the results that I think that are available to us. Does that make sense? Glory to God. Romans chapter 4. Let's look. Let's go down to verse 17. It says, as it is written, I've made you the father of many nations. In the presence of him whom we believe, God, he who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they did. So here's Abraham. First it was Abram, and he gave him a promise. Through your descendants, all nations are going to be blessed, right? And so it says here that that in the presence of him whom he believed, God, Abraham believed God. He believed God. But watch this. If you look back at his life and you read the account in Genesis, which I'm sure you all have, there was a lot of wavering going on. In other words, he promised, and then Sarah said, I don't think so. Let's get Hagar. Maybe that's how God's going to use it. Sometimes the biggest thief to getting what God really wants for us is our compromising, because God doesn't really know what he's doing, so we need to work it out ourselves, right? And there were many things that he went through, and we won't go through all of them, but it took a while for him to get to where he really believed. And sometimes it takes us a while to get where we really believe. You know, we can get up in a meeting and go, yes, glory to God, I believe. But when we walk away from there, we're like this. Because our emotions are going all over the place, right? Hallelujah. Verse 18. Now watch this. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed. In other words, contrary to any ability for him to expect the promise to come to pass, he believed and had an expectation that God was going to do what he said he would do. See, that's where we have to get to. But if you're not there, don't condemn yourself, because all of us are in that same boat in some realm or another. I believe, it's like the man said, I believe, Lord, but help thou therefore my unbelief. Right? And so, Lord, I believe, but there's still some unbelief in me, and I need to get that out of me. Hallelujah. And I wish that, you know, you could come up and lay hands on me, and all doubt would leave me. Wouldn't that be wonderful? We'd just have an unbelief casting out party. And, you know, we all run out of here and we believe everything and our faith is just maxed, but that's not how it works. The way it works is you have to renew your mind. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You have to continue. But it's not just that. It's not like, okay, I'm going to say this scripture 25 or 30,000 times, and by the 30,000 times, I'll believe it. Here's where I think we missed it. We have to come to the place where we understand that it's our relationship with God through the administration of the Holy Spirit that will bring us to the place where we can believe. Does that make sense? But watch, we have to be honest with ourselves. And we have to be honest before God. And when we're talking to God, God, I really want to believe, but there's some doubts in here. And we have to do some self-speaking, right? Because doubts are going to come. Why? Because the enemy is going to try to get you away from the promises of God. But we've got to go, no, bless God. God said it, I believe it, and I'm standing on that. And somebody said, and even kind of in faith, you take the word and you begin to speak it over you. And somebody said it this way, I don't quite like this, but they said, well, you fake it until you make it. In other words, you keep saying it over yourself. But I would take that just a little bit different direction. Probably the same outcome, but a little bit different direction. I think when you're in that process in your daily walk and your daily talking with God, when you go to that verse, say, Lord, I'm looking at this verse again. I'm seeing it, but I need you to show it to me again. Show me, you know, until it becomes real and alive on the inside of me. I want to squeeze every ounce of your revelation out of that. And you're the teacher, so I believe that you'll teach me. Does that make sense? So our faith isn't something we do outside of our relationship with God. Our faith is what we develop in our relationship with God. Does that make sense? Years ago, as Mark 11, 23 and 24, you know, if you say unto this mountain, be removed, cast to sea, and not doubt in your heart, but believe the things you say, something, whatever. But the first one is have faith in God. And many translations will have the God kind of faith. But I was reading through that, and I realized that I was trying not, well, I wasn't trying to have faith in God. I was trying to have faith in the promise of God, and this is what that looks like. Instead of believing in the healer, I was believing for healing. Instead of believing in the provider, I was looking at the one, you know, in provision. Does that make sense? There's a subtle difference there, but oh God, forgive me. See, the Holy Spirit is the one who is the emissary out of the Godhead who has come here to reveal to you just who he is. In Ephesians 1, it says, Paul's praying, I pray that you'd get a spirit of wisdom and revelation into the knowledge of him, right? And so that's the daily walk, the walk with the Lord, the walk with the Holy Spirit. It's like, Holy Spirit, and even when you're reading the words, have you ever read the word and go, I don't get it? Can anybody say that, yes, that's been me. I've been that before. Well, don't just pass over and say, well, maybe I'm not supposed to get it, or, you know. But if it's something that God is really dealing with you, meditate on it and talk to the Holy Spirit about it. And if it doesn't happen the first day, that's okay. If it doesn't happen the second day, that's okay. If it doesn't happen in 10 years, continue to ask the Holy Spirit to make it alive in you, okay? Because, hallelujah, glory to God. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Who not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already being dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God and being fully convinced that what he promised, he was also able to perform. Fully convinced. We don't want to be on half with our gas tank, right? We want to be on full. Lord, I want to be fully convinced. And this is where, even in talking to yourself and in meditating on things, am I really, or am I just fooling myself? Does that make sense? It's like, God, I want to be fully convinced, and I'm not going to get off of this until I am fully, completely convinced. Some people, and we'll go back to Matthew chapter 8, some people are walk around like this their whole Christian life. I don't know if I'm going to heaven or not. I know I made Jesus the Lord of my life, but I'm not sure if I'm getting to heaven or not. I don't know if I'm going to, I think I am, but I'm not sure if I am. I don't know. And why are they like that? Because they're not sure that what Jesus promised, he was willing to give to them. Right? The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Right? Is that true? Do you believe that? Are you fully persuaded? You see, those who go around wondering are not fully persuaded. But rather, again, than fooling yourself, say, Lord, I'll just be honest with you. I'm not fully persuaded in this. But I'm going to stick with you because I believe that's your word, and help my unbelief. Okay? Glory to God. Glory to God. It's so good. Let's go down chapter 8 and verse 14. Now, when Jesus had come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. So he touched her hand, and her fever left her, and she arose and served them. That's kind of an interesting story, because we think, you know, he probably went in there and said, I command that devil of fever to come out. It doesn't even say that he talked to her. He went, she doesn't look good. And as soon as he touched her, the fever left. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. Just amazing. Glory to God. And when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out spirits with a word, and he healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He himself took our infirmity and bore our sickness. Last week we looked at Isaiah chapter 53, and that's where this is from. And some would argue, well, you know, he took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, meaning that he saved us from our sins. Yeah, that I could see that. But if you look at it in the context of what it's saying, the healings and casting out devils is what proved that he took our sins. It was the physical evidence that he was the one who had come to take our place. Glory to God. And I love what it says in Psalms 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is David talking. And all that is within me, bless his holy name, and forget not his benefits. See, you can know the benefits and then forget the benefits. Right? How does that happen? Pressure, life happens. Things aren't going right. You feel the pain, right? But you have to go back. I'm not going to forget any of the benefits. For he forgiveth my iniquities, and he heals my diseases. See, same thing, same thing. The same thing that he did to pay for our sins, he did to take our infirmities too. And our sickness. Amen? So yeah, I'm believing for a healing. I'm believing for a healing. You're not fully persuaded yet, because you're believing to instead of believing from. Let me just say that again. You're believing to instead of believing from. In other words, God, I hope this happens. I hope this happens. I hope this happens. When reality is, I have to believe from the fact that He already did it. Right? We're not expecting Jesus, Bruce needs a healing down there. I better go find a Roman to whip me again so that those stripes can be applied to it. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's, Lord, You took those stripes for my healing 2,000 years ago. And Lord, if I'm not receiving them, then I'm going to ask You about that. I'm going to meditate on these scriptures, and Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask You to heal me based on the scripture. Does that make sense? We have to become fully persuaded. And if we're not, rather than trying to figure out why isn't this happening, God must not like me. God likes them, but He doesn't like me. All of that. It's like, no, Lord, I need to take You into the nitty-gritty of my heart and reveal it to me so that I can receive everything that You have for me. Amen? Amen. I believe, now, I know, and I know there's in this room that we deal with PTSD and often things, trauma that's happened to us. And you get really tired of somebody saying, well, I understand what you went through. No, you don't. Nobody knows or understands what somebody else went through. But I'm convinced that Jesus paid the price for you to be healed of whatever it is that you've gone through. Now, it's like this. God could heal me of something that disfigured me, but I still might have the scars from the disfigurement. Does that make sense? So, but they're not affecting me anymore because I'm healed on the inside. And I believe that He wants to do that. So again, it's like somebody that's going through things or something from the past that's still hanging on to them. It's like, Lord, Holy Spirit, You're the teacher. I believe, but help my unbelief. And let's walk this out. And it's really amazing. Watch this. It's really amazing because He can do it in so many different ways. Wouldn't it be nice if He did it the same for everybody and you go to a healing meeting and it's just gone, you never have it again? But I will tell you that the majority of people don't receive it that way. And a lot of people who receive it at the healing meeting lose it by Wednesday. And the reason is they're not fully convinced, and the enemy comes and says, I'm back. And you say, oh, I thought I got it. No, you did get it, but the enemy's a liar and he wants you to take it back. Okay? So we have to become fully convinced. So it's like, Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, teach me. And watch this. God will use many different things. For instance, somebody needs to go in, like Marvin's going in, for a knee operation this week. I praise God for that. I praise God that the doctors are there, and I want him healed no matter what. Well, why didn't God just heal him? I don't know. I don't care. But here's what I know. God's going to be with him in the operating room. So sometimes, with the brokenhearted, God will use a book. You read a book and something leaps off the page. Somebody else's testimony will sit to you. But watch this. No one's testimony will get you to the place that you need to be unless you take ownership of the promise that's behind the testimony. In other words, God was willing to do it for George. The same God is willing to do it for me. Does that make sense? Taking that ownership. If you're not there, don't worry about that. Just start talking to the Holy Spirit some more about it. And watch this. I worked with somebody years ago, and I actually, again, worked through a book of somebody that had gone through similar circumstances. And what that person did is they had to take Jesus into the trauma that they went through. In their mind, they had to take Jesus into it. And that process of time, taking him into those things and living, he healed them, right? So anyway, so we need to come to the place where we're just trusting God. Absolutely. Because the same Jesus that fulfilled, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness, is the same Jesus that's sitting with us today. Amen? Is that good? Is that good? Glory to God. So don't worry that you haven't got it yet. Don't worry that it has. Say, Lord, this is just my adventure. But I'm going to just stick with you. I'm going to take you at your word. Even if there's unbelief in me, right? I'm taking myself to your presence for you to reveal yourself to me in this and through this. Does this make sense to everybody? Glory to God. Glory to God. Now watch. Let's go down to it's so amazing. But just for the sake of time. So he went across the water, the boat, the sea, and all of that. And he came to this demonic guy. Now look at verse 29. And suddenly they cried out, the demons that were in this guy, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a good way off from them was a herd of swine feeding. So the demons begged him, saying, "If you cast us out, permit us to go away into the herd of swine." I'll bet the swine herders were just excited about this, right? And he said to them, "Go." And when they came out, they went into the herd of swine. Suddenly the whole herd of swine ran violently down the steep place into the sea and perished in the water. Then those who kept them fled, and they went away into the city and told everything, including what had happened to the demon-possessed man. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to depart from their region. In other words, too much for us. Too much for us. Too much for us. God, we don't like this. This is ruining our view of you. But watch this. I believe that Jesus wants to free us from demons. He wants to free us from hurt. He wants to free us from our pain. I'm not saying we'll never have pain. We will have pain. We will go through things. Life will happen. But I think we can come to the place where, God, if you're with me, come on, bring it on. Bring it on. Devil, no matter what you got coming to me, God is with me. He's going to see me through. God, if you promised me this, I'm going to walk in this. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I love it. Luke chapter 4. Watch this now. Then Jesus, verse 14, returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the news of him went out throughout the surrounding region. He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So everybody was, this is Jesus, man. Watch this. Things are happening. And they were, he's a big deal, right? He taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. He came to his hometown. Jesus, the Son of God, came to his hometown. Now you'd think, oh yeah, that's Mary and Joseph's boy. That's Jesus. Yeah, we saw him. We know who he is. Sometimes being too familiar will cause you not to partake of the anointing of a person's life. And that's what's going to happen here. Watch this now. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it's written, and this is Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive, the recovery of sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, let me just ask you a question. Is that still valid today? Who's it valid for? Come on. Is it valid for you? Do you believe that? Are you fully persuaded of that? Or is there some work that you need to do with the Holy Spirit to get you to the place where you're fully persuaded? Right? Tonight, I want to be fully persuaded. God's still working on me. He's still working, and I believe we can get to other levels. See, because I don't want to necessarily just have this for me, although I want it for me. I want to have this so that I can go to you and pray for you as a man who has authority, one who's under authority, but I also have authority over others, right? And demons have to flee when I pray because the authority that's been given me through the blood of Jesus, right? So I need to become fully convinced, not only for myself, but so that God can use me going forward. Hallelujah. He closed the book and gave it back to the attendants and sat down. Everything's good so far. This is all right. This is good. And everybody's eyes were fixed on him. Verse 21. And then he began to say to them, "Today, the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Everything was good up to this point. But now he's saying, "Today, this is fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, it'd be like somebody coming from your old neighborhood and you knew how they grew up. Now, I'm not saying Jesus did anything wrong when he was a kid, but you played with him, you watched him work beside his father, all that stuff. And he comes in, he says, "You know, I just got saved, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and God's using me, and now I'm a spiritual authority over you." And you go, "Are you kidding me? I used to party with you, right? I knew you when." So you can understand their thinking. "I knew when you were 6. I knew when you were 8. I knew when you were 16. I knew when you were in these situations." And they viewed him how he was, so they could not receive the authority that he had. Right? And so we got to be careful with that. We got to be careful. It's like, "Lord, I don't care who's speaking your word. If they're speaking under authority, I'm going to be able to receive from them no matter who they are." Does that make sense? Glory to God. But watch this. So all bore witness to him and marveled at his gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And he said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, 'Physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also in your country.'" And then he said, "But assuredly I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, the woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elijah the prophet, but none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian," in other words, outsiders. And to those who were in the synagogue, when they heard these words, were filled with wrath and rose and thrust him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which the city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. Watch this. Jesus, the Son of God, came into the place, told them, "This is who I am. This is what's available to you." But because they couldn't see him as he was, they missed the opportunity of what he had for them. And tonight, I just tell you that I don't want that to happen to us. Lord, I don't care what I believed last year. I don't care what I was taught all my life. I don't care. Father, if I see it in your word, I'm going to begin to go on a quest to make it mine. And I believe, Lord, but help my unbelief. And Holy Spirit, I'm going to take those scriptures and just begin to meditate on them and work with you on them until they become real to me. See, because I want to receive everything that he has for me. Amen? How about you? Is that what you want tonight? Come on, I believe the presence of God is in this room. I believe he's speaking, you know, even on YouTube and the internet, that God is touching us tonight. He wants us to be filled with the knowledge that every good thing that he's promised in his word is for us, is for me. But it's not just supposed to be for me, it's supposed to be through me. So that I can pray for somebody that's hurting and say, I know God will touch you. I know God will heal you. I know God will heal your heart. I know God will give you peace. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. So often, Lord, I feel like that man who came to you. I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Tonight, Father, I just ask you to touch every person that's here, anybody that's going to listen to this at home or maybe tomorrow, whenever. God, that you would just use my feeble words, God, to put in their heart that they can come to you, and through their fellowship with you, their faith can be brought to the place where they're fully, absolutely convinced, fully persuaded that beyond hope, in spite and contrary to hope, in hope they have because of your promise. We just thank you for it, Lord. We bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you're here tonight, if you're listening to me, you haven't done it, call on the name of Jesus. He loves you. God bless. Amen.